He was talking about Brother Jerry, how his encouragement calls him up when he's down, tells him he loved him. My question is, Jerry, why ain't you ever called and told me you love me? I appreciate being here. It's an honor to stand before you. It's a great responsibility. I don't take preaching lightly. I believe that at the judgment seat of Christ, I will give an account for my words that I say to people. And so it is a serious business, but yet, you know, we laugh and cut up, and I think that's part of it. You know, just look around. You know, the Lord had a sense of humor. I mean, we look at one another, but look at me. But somebody was talking about getting old. I see my youth going down the drain every day I take a shower. I don't worry about my hair turning gray. I worry about it turning loose. And it's getting to the place where I'm going to have to wear a sun visor back here when I turn around so the people won't be blinded by that spot back there. But anyway, we got heavenly heads. There'll be no partying there. But I am glad to be here, and I'm not going to hold you too long because I know who you want waiting on to hear. But I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now, there is nothing more important that I could say than that. If I get up here and don't exalt the work that God did for you, I've wasted my time and your time. There's not a message, there's not a work that if the cross of Christ is not the foundation of, then there's no need in preaching. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he says, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." And the victory is back in verse 54 when he talks about, in the last sentence, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? For the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's where the victory is tonight. He took the law out of the way, as Jerry brought out. Death has been abolished. There is no death to the Christian, to the believer in Christ Jesus. You've already died. And in Christ, your sins has already been paid for. You've already been judged in Christ. You died in Christ. You were buried with Christ. And you're risen with Christ. And you're seated with Him right now, judicially speaking. And bless your souls, we are already glorified together with Christ. I'm a finished product in the eyes of God, whether you like it or not. And that one night, in 1971, I did not know what I just told you about what He did for me, but I knew I was a sinner. I seen myself lost. I seen myself going to hell. And in that hotel room, afraid of falling off into the lake of fire, afraid, scared to death. I seen Jesus Christ. I knew He died for me, and I trusted Him that night. God sealed me, finished it, done deal, and there's nothing nobody can do about it. Don't let somebody rob you of what the Lord has done for you. Don't let nobody take away what the Lord Jesus Christ did for everybody in AD 33. Now I want you to talk and look in the next verse, and that's where we're going. Have I got this thing too? Okay, he's got it under control back there. But he's going to probably be watching that Alabama game. I know his trick back there. But no. But anyway, look in the next verse. Verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor in the Lord, that your labor is, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Now, we always look at that as just our work, our ministries that we've got, our Bible studies, our doing the work of the Lord. But I want to look at it as abounding in the work of the Lord that He done for you. I think that's what's important. I think it's not important of what I do. It's not important of what I have. It's what He did for me. That's the work that I want to talk to you about. And I want to also talk about our work because of that work that He did for me. And so look at this thing, what Paul talks about, the work of the Lord. Look in chapter 16 of 1 Corinthians. And notice what he says in verse 10. In verse 10, now if Timotheus come, see that he may be with you without fear. For he worketh the work of the Lord, as I also do. Well, how did he work the work of the Lord? How did Paul do the work of the Lord? Well, he done the work of the Lord by preaching, folks. By teaching. What did he teach? He taught the work of the Lord. He taught what the Lord did for you. That's our ministry today. It's not to build a name for ourselves. It's not to be have followers. It's not to say how many classes we have. I'm doing more for you. It's His work that we should be glorying in. And I get tired of people wanting to take away from the work that the Lord did for us. Well, what's that work that He did for you? Well, in the chapter 15, it's about resurrection. That work, notice he said in verse 1, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. Do you realize that there are men today that are standing and preaching about Jesus Christ that do not believe in the resurrection? They don't believe in the virgin birth. They don't believe in the resurrection of Christ, a bodily resurrection. You know what their faith is? It's in vain. Do you realize there are people today that believe in the resurrection? They believe in the death. They believe in the his die being buried. They believe he was raised the third day. But they don't believe it for themselves. They believe it just happened. Just like you believe that George Washington was the first president. Now tell me, how many in here hasn't seen old George? How many's talked to him? Lord, don't tell us if you did. How do you know he existed? You read about it. You read what some man wrote down, a historian, and you say, well, that's history that he wrote it down. I've never seen him, never talked to him. Folks, they tell me he was a man. Well, I have no cause to believe that in him. I have no cause to believe it
He did anything except what was wrote down. But folks, I do have a cause to believe that Jesus Christ went to a cross and died for me. Why? It's my sins. It's my eternal destiny. It's whether I have eternal life or not. That makes it my business. Believe without a cause. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Now Paul is going through the resurrection. Why? Look down in verse 12. Now if Christ be preached that He arose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? There's people in that church that didn't even believe in the resurrection. They're called Sadducees. They're in there. They're in there. They didn't even believe in it. And he said, if Christ be preached, how come some you saying that there is no resurrection? And he goes through the resurrection. And then he shows what kind of body we're going to have. And he shows how that we'll be raised in glory. How that this old corruptible body, which you can apply to Christ. And he became corrupt on that cross. My corruption was put upon him. My sins. He was made sin who knew no sin, that I might be made the righteousness of God. Folks, he became sin for me. He took my corruption. He took my lies. And just like Jerry said, let God be true, every man a liar. Now, on the way over here, there was a point I was trying to... I'm going to just be honest with you. There it is. Do you notice how I stopped just to hear that? No, I'm just kidding. You know, you come through Knoxville. They got about 6 lanes of traffic on 40. And they got big old signs that says 55. Now, yeah, let me tell you something. If you run 55 through Knoxville, you're going to get run over. So I'm going up through there, and Dennis behind me, and so here we go, and we're bumping 70, 75. I'm not under the law. So we're going up through there, and all of a sudden, I hear something going. I look up my rearview mirror and I think, where did he come from? Blue lights come on. And I thought, he's going to put me back under the law. So, you know, that just does something to you when you look up in that mirror and you see them blue lights. So I move over, and he goes on. And he pulls a Jeep over that was ahead of us. Man, I felt good. But what I was going to say was, he was going to put me back in the law, but I thought, I'm under grace, and I'm going to think of a lie to tell him why I was going so fast. Say, would you do that? Well, you know you would. It'd get you out of a ticket. You just there. You know, I didn't know the speed limit. I'm just running with traffic. But anyway, what was I saying? Oh, Lord, have mercy. The law. Done away his work. Now look at this thing. How did Paul do the work? He preached. I want you to look at something about this thing. Turn with me and let's look over there. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. You're there. Just turn back to 9. I want you to see something about our workmen. We're to be workmen, not ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2:15, we're workmen, but we do His work. In other words, what I'm trying to get across to you folks, it's not our ministry, it's not our work. It's not what we're doing, it's what He does, and we're magnifying what He done for us. Anybody that preaches, teaches, or anything that takes away from what Christ did for you on that cross or adds to it is, folks, just throw it in file 13. Just disregard it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, notice what he says there. I believe our work is to get people saved. I believe that God would have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and notice in verse 1. I want to show you this, then we'll read another. Am I not apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are not ye my, what? Work in the Lord? Paul said to the Corinthian church, you're my work. Well, what's he talking? Folks, what you say, what comes out of your mouth affects people. And if you preach and teach the wrong thing, it's going to affect people. And they become your work. They're your work. Look back with me in chapter 3. In chapter 3. Talking about verse 8. He said, now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. Every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. And he gives down the Paul being the master builder in verse 10. And if Christians want to build with God intelligently, they got to go to Paul and they got to go to the blueprint that he wrote down for you in Romans 2 Philemon. And if you want to do the work of the Lord, then you've got to know what the work of the Lord is. You've got to know what He's doing. Look down with me and He says in verse 13. He said, every man's what? Works. Just work. And it might be many works, but it's work. Every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Not how much, what sort it is. And folks, your work is people. And what comes out of your mouth affects people. And you're making them a molding. Look at this thing. Come over with me and notice in Philippians. In Philippians, and notice what he says in chapter 1. In Philippians chapter 1, he says there in verse 20, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be life or death, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Christ shall be magnified in my body. Well, now, folks, that can't be something that I can see, because y'all don't look Christly. Some worse than others. I mean, so how is Christ magnified in my body? By words that come out of my mouth. Through preaching. Look back with me in Corinthians. Notice in 2 Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, "For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh." Well, how is he made manifest in our mortal flesh? "So then death worketh in us, but life in you." Paul said, so then death, that's physical death to him, "worketh in us, but life, spiritual life, worketh in you." Now here it is. "We have in the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak." Folks, you speak what you believe. If you believe the wrong thing, you're going to teach the wrong thing, they're going to speak it, and they're going to manifest it. And if it don't glorify the cross and with the work that He did for you, then it's no good. It's wood, hay, stubble. And at the judgment seat of Christ, it's going up in smoke. Your work is to get people saved. Your work is to tell them how to get saved. If I get up here and I tell you Jesus Christ died for your sins, but you got to keep the commandments to be saved, that's a bad work. That's not manifesting Christ through my mortal flesh. What glorifies Him is His work that He did for you. You know, the greatest messages we can preach is the gospel of Christ. We glory, Paul said, we glory in the cross of Christ. I thank God every day for what He did for me in AD 33. I look back and I look at my life after I was saved. You know what so just blows my mind is, the Lord saved me when I was 19. But He knew how I was going to live from then to now. But He saved me anyway. Why? Because that don't matter. He took care of it all. And aren't you glad you're free? Aren't you glad it's not my works of righteousness? I wouldn't never know if I did enough. People that are trusted in their works, how do you know if you've done enough? And tell me something. What could you offer to God Almighty that is better than what His Son did by offering Himself for you? What could some old sinful human being that has impure thoughts, that goes around and would lie to a cop to get out of a ticket, what could he that gets mad that flies off the handle sometimes, not often, I lied. Every time I get on the highway, I'm old flesh. It's dead, but it raises up and kicks me every day. You know that. So what could I give to a holy and righteous God that would satisfy His wrath against me that Jesus Christ hadn't already given? That would even be better. I think about Cain. Cain offered the best he had. Do you know what the Bible says? The Bible says man at his best is vanity to God. Cain offered the best he had. And old Abel, he didn't do nothing to that lamb. Feed it, water it, whatever, and it just grew. And God accepted his, rejected Cain. I imagine Cain put more work in his. I imagine he was proud of what he had. He brought it there, laid it out there. And God rejected it. Why? You see, folks, you become what you offer. Jesus Christ is my sacrifice. He's the work that we ought to be getting people saved by the gospel, by preaching it. Look in 1 Corinthians 1. 1 Corinthians 1. Notice what he says there in verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. You know, folks, I understand now about the cross being the power of God. That's the only way He could save you. Your sins had to be dealt with. You as a sinner had to be dealt with. And Jesus Christ came into this world and He never had no impure thoughts. There was no gall found in His mouth. He never said anything that He wasn't supposed to say. He lived a perfect, righteous, holy life. He came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. He kept it to the T. And He went to a cross. And I think about old Barabbas. Can you imagine Barabbas being in there when they're making that cross, knowing that that's his cross? And I think about them coming in there and them soldiers coming in there. And old Barabbas is in the cell, sweat popping out on his forehead. They're coming down there and he's thinking, they're going to get me. They come in there and they unlock the shackles and say, you're free to go. Well, how can that be? How can that someone else is taking your cross? Folks, I want to tell you something. God just didn't wipe away your sins without a payment. That payment was in His dear Son. And Romans 8 said God delivered Him up for us all. And God Almighty delivered Him up, put Him on the altar of sacrifice, and it was a sacrifice of a sweet smelling Savior. You know what that is? You go back to Leviticus, you find that that's a sacrifice offered by fire. And Ephesians 5 says it's a sacrifice of a sweet smelling Savior. And folks, that's the aroma. And it comes up. And when we preach and glorify the cross and realize that what we have in Christ, we have it because of the cross. That's an aroma that God enjoys. And God is well pleased. And if you're in Christ, you died with Him that day. And you were buried. And that third day, you came out with Him and you wasn't even around. You see, that's something that's just amazing to me. In fact, look at it in Ephesians chapter 1. Talk about His work. What a work He did for us. Our work is to show the world what His work did. Our work is to show the world His work. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Always growing in what He's done for us. And then communicating it out. Believing it, and then we speak it. Do you realize the power that it took? It would have been no problem for God to raise up His Son. That's His Son. But it just wasn't His Son that was involved in that action on the cross. It's a bunch of unworthy, ungodly sinners. Look in Ephesians chapter 1. And he said, Paul praying for these people. Verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe? according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principalities. Look in chapter 2, who's with Him in them heavenly places. Verse 5, even when we were dead in sins. When were you dead in sins? I was dead in sins on that cross. He said there, and hath even when we were dead in sins, hath He quickened us together with Christ. For by grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. We've His trophies of grace, and we're going to shine forth that grace and glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Bless God, I'm a son of God. God does not see me as the old man. I'm dead. I'm alive unto God as His son. I am righteous. I am forgiven by the blood of Christ. And if we have this remission and forgiveness of sins through His blood, and there's nothing that can ever change that. Thank God for salvation. If I could get saved again, I would. But I can't. But you know something? It just gets better and better. It's like Grandma's snuff, she told me about one time. I said, Grandma, what has it got? She put in that, put it like that thing. She have a stick that looked like about that long. You know, sometimes she'd stick it in there and it'd come down and turn around. And I said, Grandma, what? She said, it just gets gooder and gooder. That's the way my salvation is. Reminds me of that woman. I'm going to close here, but it reminds me of that woman. The old man was preaching against works and everything, and he was laying in smoking. If you smoke cigarettes, boy, he was laying in there. And the old woman come up to him, she had a dip in. She said, preacher, that's a real good message. And he said, thank you, sister. And she just kept on. So, boy, I'm telling you, that's a real good message. That's the best message I ever heard. Finally, he got sort of aggravated and said, well, what about that snuff you've got in your mouth there? You think that's right? Preacher, that's what I've been trying to tell you. Anybody that will burn up something this good ought to go to hell. I'm going to close. Close.